What up, what up, what up? Peace, silly listeners. Welcome to the podcast that takes the silliness seriously, the professionally silly podcast. It's your audible boot thang, Amber Smiles Jones, and this is the podcast where we shoot the shit and where comedy can meet any random ass topic that we discuss. But let me tell you something, today is going to be a very different episode. The random topic we're discussing is a creepy pasta. It is creepy, it is gross, it is very detailed. And that's what this episode is going to be.
Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10... Oh, yeah, it's me, everybody. It's DJ Cousin. So on a scale of 1 to 10, on the creepypasta scale, where would you say we are exactly?
Do you mean as in, like, scary or gross or graphic? Like, what do you mean?
Well, I mean... Okay, well, let me be a little more distinct with this description. The creepypasta scale is basically, you know, a scale that's based off of... how original the story is, the sense of macabre it gives you.
37 out of 10.
Okay, well, maybe I should extend the range to 50, maybe. Its sense of dread that it can also give you.
104.
This is one thing that I'm still describing. Is that a different... Is that
no, I'm telling you that this has everything that you're saying. Okay. Continue. Okay. If it doesn't have anything, then I won't say anything.
Okay. Its sense of originality as far as a central character or characters.
204.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. All right. And its overall sense of originality.
3009.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, you know what? With that being said. Give us the lowdown.
More fucking questions. We can definitely continue wasting time.
It was more of a criteria than a set of questions. But nevertheless, go ahead. Give us the lowdown.
All right. So I got this from creepypasta.fandom.com. This creepypasta is actually called Feed the Pig. Now, I originally heard this. I believe it was the Extraterrestrials podcast. Yes, Terrestrials. It's like terrestrials, but with testicles.
Yeah, no, yeah, she said it correctly the first time.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to explain, and I also wanted to say testicles. That's a fun word.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and Kent Chungus, he is the one of the co-hosts of the show from 1159 Media Podcast. They have great podcasts, actually. Was it 911 Calls Podcast with the operator? Love that. True Crime Kent, love that. If you're easily offended... those are not the podcasts for you. They are actually worse than me. And I mean that in a great way. They are true to who they are. And I fucking love it. I love it. Kent Chungus is my fucking favorite. I love that man. All right. By the way, he does not look the way he sounds.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard not to at least be fond of a man with that name.
Kent Chungus from Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah. If the apocalypse starts,
Kentucky Kent.
He's good. That name.
Oh, dude. Yeah. And he's also an ex-Marine.
Yeah. Lord Chungus. Yeah.
Lord Chungus. Lord Chungus, sir.
Yeah.
What can I do for you, Lord Chungus? All right. With that being said, it's time to get on with the silly, but in this episode, a little bit of creepy as well. Yeah. So make sure you guys subscribe, rate, and review. Coming up, Feed the Pig.
Ooh, a little bit of PB in your PS. Yeah.
Feed the Pig. It's going to be great. All right, let's get to it.
All right.
This story is actually credited, according to creepypasta.fandom.com, to a guy named Elias, looks like Withrow, I believe is how you say his name. Withrow.
Withrow.
Yeah, it's W-I-T-H-E-R-O-W. Elias Withrow. So I believe that this is the dude who took care of the story. I wanted to make sure I give him his credit for this, but we're gonna get his creepypasta out there.
Yeah,
it's gonna be great. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
I slowly opened my eyes. My head was swimming and a dull pain surrounded my throat. I was thirsty. That was the first thing I noticed. I licked my dry lips as my surroundings faded into focus. My body ached and I realized it was because I was tightly bound to a metal chair in the middle of an empty room. The barren concrete walls were stained and dirty. The floor beneath my bare feet was cold and slightly wet. A single bulb lit the room, dangling from the ceiling by a string. It cast moving shadows, and I blinked back darkness. An open door stood before me, and I couldn't see anything but the wall of a hallway. I tried to clear my head, tried to remember how I got here. I squeezed my eyes shut and forced myself not to panic. I slowed my breathing and focused my thoughts, desperately trying to summon some recollection of why I was here. I couldn't remember anything. I opened my eyes and exhaled, my parched throat throbbing. I could hear sound echoing off the hallway walls outside the door. Screaming, clanging, howling. All very distant, but that did nothing to help calm my nerves. "Hello," I cried, the word tearing at my vocal cords. I felt my chest hitch in pain, but I cleared my throat and yelled again. "Is anyone there? Hello?" The dark hallway remained silent, except for the constant echoes. I shut my mouth and tried to wiggle free of my bindings, but the rope was knotted impossibly tight. I fought back against my imagination as it flooded my mind with horrific scenarios of what awaited me. If only I could remember. Suddenly, footsteps erupted from outside the door, a rapid patter of small feet. My hopes rose and I trained my attention on the door, praying it was help. A young boy ran into the room dressed in a red onesie, complete with padded feet. Stretched over his face was a plastic devil mask. The eye holes revealed massive blue eyes that greeted me curiously. Taken back, I opened my mouth to speak, but that's when I noticed something was off. His eyes were huge, impossibly round and bulging from their sockets. It sent a shiver of unease down my spine, but I shook it off. This child might be able to free me. "Hey," I hissed urgently. "Hey, kid. Can you get me out of here?" The boy took a step closer, cocking his head, but remaining silent. I rattled my bound arms against the chair. "Cut me free, please. I shouldn't be here. This is some kind of mistake." The boy eyed me behind his strange mask and stopped directly in front of me. He leaned in close and whispered, his voice like wet silk, "You did a bad thing." Confused, I shook my head. No, this is a mistake. I didn't do anything." The boy's enormous blue eyes suddenly filled with sadness. "Oh, you did a really, really bad thing." I shook my head again, violently. No, I'm sorry. I don't remember. Please just get me out of this chair." Suddenly, before either of us could speak again, a man came charging into the room. He was overweight and dressed in overalls, his grizzled face twisted in seething anger. He was holding a sawed-off shotgun in his arms. "I didn't do anything," I cried as he advanced on us, my voice crackling. "I'm not supposed to be here." The big man ignored me and instead grabbed the kid and shoved him hard against the wall. The boy grunted as his back struck the concrete and his eyes rose to meet the grizzled man's. Wordlessly, the man raised his shotgun, placed it against the boy's forehead, and blew his head off. Chunks of gore splattered the wall as shock slugged me in the stomach like an iron fist. My ears rang, and time seemed to slow as I watched in horror as the headless boy crumpled to the ground. My breath rushed back into my lungs, and time seemed to readjust.
"Jesus fucking Christ!"
"Oh my God,"
I screamed, straining against the ropes, my eyes bulging in horrific shock. What the fuck? The man ignored my screams as he bent down and picked up the boy. He slung the ruined corpse over his shoulder and walked out the doorway. Suddenly, the hallway erupted with malicious laughter, a chorus of voices all howling in glee. I shut my eyes, the noise deafening, as absolute terror filled my every pore. After a few moments, the laughter faded, and I cautiously opened my eyes, unable to believe what I had just witnessed. Hello? I jumped as I realized there was another man standing before me. He was dressed in a simple white button-down shirt and jeans. His brown hair was cut short and appeared to be in his early 30s. His green eyes were dull and lifeless, his lips pulled down at the corners. What's going on? Where am I? I cried, new fear pooling in my stomach like hot blood. I don't know if you guys can hear Wes, but he's like, oh my God. Jesus. Like, are you good?
Yes, I'm good. I'm good. Keep going.
Like hot blood. That's a good place to start, right?
It was.
The man crossed his arms. So you're the new one, huh? Oh. He shook his head. You people disgust me. Questions bubbled on my lips, but he waved them off with a sharp chop of his hand, slicing the air and demanding my silence. He ran his tongue over his teeth, sneering. You look like you already seen some of the horrors this place holds, huh? Yeah, I can tell by the look in your eyes. You're terrified. You've seen something, haven't you? It doesn't seem all that bad now, does it, looking back? You've been here 5 minutes and you're already shitting your pants. Where am I? I gasped, unable to hold back any longer. What do you people want? The man crossed his arms behind his back. I bet you want to get out of here, don't you? I bet you'd like to go back home to your family and everything, huh? Please, I interrupted. Whatever I did to you, I'm sorry, I really am, but I don't remember. The man rolled his eyes. You didn't do anything to me. You did it to yourself. You really don't remember anything? I shook my head and felt tears brimming in my eyes. Liquid fear. The man looked at me with contempt. You waited until your wife left for work, and then you went out to the woodshed and hung yourself. You're dead. The recent memory rose in my mind like a monster from a bog. My eyes went wide. As much as I wanted to deny it, he was right. I had killed myself. The incident tore through my brain like a bullet train and left me reeling. I'm Danny, by the way, the man said, ignoring the shocked look on my face. And I'm number two here. I run the orientation process. I want to make this quick because I'm tired of repeating this fucking thing to you pathetic suicidals. You get one question before I begin. He stared down at me and I scrambled to organize my thoughts into something cohesive. This was all horrifying. Why had I killed myself? I fought against the fog and panic, and the mist of confusion slowly began to lift. I had just lost my job. Yes, that was a start. I squeezed my eyes shut and forced more of the memory to emerge. I had lost my job and I was about to lose the house. My wife, Tess, she found out and was going to leave me. I didn't have any way out, didn't have any options. Getting fired had come out of the blue and I didn't have much in savings. I was broke, soon to be homeless, and my wife hated me for it. There was something else. Yes, that's right. She had been cheating on me. I had seen texts on her phone while she slept one night and confirmed my suspicions. My life had degraded to shit, and I had run out of options. Humiliated and ashamed, I decided death was my only option. "Hey, fucker, do you have any questions or not?" Danny said, snapping his fingers in front of my face. I was sucked back into reality and I asked the only question that mattered. "Is this hell?" Danny snorted. "That's always what you people ask." He began to pace back and forth in front of me. "No, this is not hell. It's not heaven either. This is a black farm. And no, I didn't name it that. This is where God sends souls who have ended their own life. Suicidals. You see, he doesn't really know what to do with you. And neither does the devil. There are genuinely good people who kill themselves. Seems cruel to banish them to hell for all eternity for a moment of weakness, right? Personally, I think God and the devil were just tired of arguing about it, and so they send them here, to the Black Farm. Did God create this place?" I asked, growing more and more confused. Danny spit on the floor, chuckling.
"Sure,
at some point. But he lost control of it when he put the pig in charge."
What's the pig?"
I asked, unsure. I wanted to know the answer. Danny held up a hand, annoyed. "Can I fucking finish? God created this place eons ago, but the pig in charge, and then forgot about it for a while. Well, when his back was turned, the pig decided to use his powers to try to create his own little world. This mess you see around you is the fractured remains of that experiment. The Black Farm used to be a lot nicer, but the pig wanted things to be different. He wanted to create his own vision. These people you see, these monsters, they are the pig's attempt at creating functional life instead of mirroring God's earth. These mutated, horrible creations are full of sin and hatred. They run rampant here, unabashed. This place is chaos. The Black Farm is a circus of freaks and monsters, and it's your eternity." Fear boiled in my gut like thick oil. No, this can't be my end. I didn't believe in stuff like this. This wasn't real. I would wake up soon and realize that I was just having a nightmare. That had to be it. Danny stood there before me and lightly slapped my face. Hey, don't go into hysterics on me. I haven't finished yet. I raised my teary eyes to meet his. Danny smiled. "You can always feed the pig." My breath pushed from my lungs like burning steam.
What does that mean?
Danny spread his hands, still smiling. "It's as simple as that. Feed the pig. If you do so, there is a chance he'll send you back to your life."
And what happens if it doesn't?
I bumbled. "You get sent to hell. So flip a coin if you have one. Stay here with us or feed the pig. If you choose to stay, I'll let you go. I'll let you go out there," he said, pointing towards the door. "But let me assure you, what awaits you at the end of the hallway, well, let's just say hell isn't that much worse." I swallowed hard, trying my best to digest everything. Why wouldn't I try feeding the pig? Whatever that meant. If there was even a sliver of hope, I would take it. An eternity in this place? The Black Farm? Be sent to hell? Or feed the pig? I would do anything for a chance to go back. This nightmare made my problems seem nothing in comparison. Danny raised his hand before I could speak. "I'll let you think on it a while. I'll be back later."
"I want to feed the pig!"
I cried, not wanting to spend another second in this awful room. I could hear a woman screaming down the hallway, her cries rising as something meaty pounded into her. My breath came in sharp pulls, and my throat burned. Danny noticed the noise and grinned. "Sounds pretty bad, huh?" he said softly, as the woman's voice creaked with agony. Something was still slamming into her, the sound of beaten flesh igniting my imagination with horrors.
Please, I gasped, breathless. Just let me feed the pig. I don't want to stay here any longer.
Danny turned away from me. I'll be back later. Enjoy your time alone. Really think about your situation. Weigh your options. And remember, you put yourself here. And with that, he was gone, leaving me in the dim room. Tears streamed down my face. The woman didn't stop screaming for hours. At some point, I fell into a semi-sleep. The darkness in the room seemed to press in on me, and my eyes fluttered shut. My body ached, and my throat was a halo of fire. Thirst raked at my windpipe like sharp glass. My lips felt like crumpled paper. My head thundered like a drum. The room swam in and out of focus, and my mind drifted towards the horrific sounds that never ended. I was lost in a haze, unaware that something was sliding into the room until I felt a sharp prick on my big toe. I jolted out of my daze as my bare foot ignited with pain. I screamed and tried to move, but my bindings held me tight. The room rushed back into focus, and I blinked in agony as I felt blood trickle between my toes. I looked down for the source of pain, and I felt a scream claw up my throat. Staring up at me was an armless man. He slithered on the floor like a worm, his bald head scabbed and filthy. His legs are wrapped together in barbed wire, forcing him to wiggle his body to move. His eyes were lidless and wide, two bloodshot white orbs that stared up at me with hungry intensity. His teeth had been removed and replaced with long screws which jutted from his bleeding gums like a broken rock formation. Around his neck was a chain leash, which I followed across the floor to the open door. The end of the leash was held by a tall, naked man. His body was hairless and flabby, covered in similar scabs like his pet. A dirty bag was pulled over his head that hid his features except for a single red eye that peeked out at me from a crude cut in the cloth. He stared at me and groped his engorged penis, his breath heavy and labored. As the armless man wriggled towards me again, his master started to masturbate. I screamed as the screw-filled mouth bit at me again, and my cries seemed to stimulate the naked man even more.
Get off of me! Stop it!
I screamed, horrified. I tried to kick at the man, doing my best to avoid his sharp metal teeth. I brought down my heel on his head, and he screamed as his face bounced off the floor. A moan of pleasure escaped from the bag man's mouth, and I turned away as a mist of black sprayed out onto the floor. There was a rattle of chains, and I turned back to see the two of them leaving, the armless man dragged by his neck out the door. I looked at where the bagged man had ejaculated, and I saw a puddle of dead ants. I vomited onto myself, thick, chunky curtains of bile and slime.
Get me out of here!
I screamed, strands of puke running down my chin.
I don't belong here!
I listened to the two men retreat down the hallway, the clink of the chains accompanied by the sound of flesh being dragged across the concrete. I screamed again, but I knew no one was going to help me. I spit a wad of phlegm and bile onto the floor, ridding my mouth of its sourness. I forced myself to calm down. It wasn't easy. After some time, I heard someone else approaching. I had been in a miserable lull, my mind a blank canvas of dark despair, but the noise roused me from my trance-like state. The muscles in my arms burned from being restrained for so long, and I shifted them desperately, trying my best to prepare myself for whatever horror was about to walk through the door. Footsteps drew closer, and then a woman walked into the room. She stopped at the doorway and looked at me.
One of her eyes was missing, a dark, cavernous hole in her skull. Her hair was ratty and wild, a brown tangle like a forgotten nest. Her skin was pale and filthy, and she was dressed in rags. I couldn't tell how old she was, but there was a maturity in her one good eye.
"Still thinking?"
she asked, her voice coarse and brittle.
"Oh.
Still thinking?"
she asked.
Much better.
Her voice coarse and brittle.
"Still thinking?"
her voice coarse and brittle. "What?" she took a step closer.
"Are you still deciding whether you're going to feed the pig or not?"
I look at her cautiously.
"Yeah, I am. Who are you? What do you want?"
"I was once where you are now," she said, "trying to decide my fate. I couldn't believe that this was what happened. What happened after we die. It wasn't what I thought. Religion didn't warn me about this place."
I tested my bindings again before asking.
You killed yourself too? You're a person like me? You're not one of those creations?"
she snorted.
"Breaks my heart. You have to ask, though."
She touched the hole where her eye should have been.
"Though I can understand your caution. Yeah, I'm a suicidal. I've been here a long, long time. But that was my choice. I decided to chance it here."
I motioned with my head towards the door.
What's out there? What is all this?"
She exhaled heavily and leaned against the wall.
"I can't even begin to describe this place. It's like nothing you've ever seen. You walk down that hallway and go out into it. And,"
she swallowed,
"you'd have to see it to understand."
How bad is it? Why are all these mutated people hurting and killing each other?"
I asked. She let her head loll back against the wall.
"It would take years for you to fully understand this place. Years you don't have. Right now, you have to make a decision. Stay or feed the pig. They tell me hell is worse than here, but it can't be by much. Monsters and suicidals roam the black farm, killing, raping, brutalizing. And then you wake up and wonder how long you can survive before something else kills you. It's an endless cycle."
"So, why did you stay?"
I pressed.
"Why didn't you feed the pig? I don't even know what that means, but I would do anything for a chance to go back. I can't stay here. I can't!"
She smiled sadly at me.
"Why? Why did I choose this? Simple, really. I'm a coward. I was a coward when I was alive, and I'm coward in death. When it came down to it, when the moment presented itself, I chose to stay here. I didn't know what awaited me outside. It boiled down to a simple choice fueled by my own fear."
"What's the pig? What does it do to you?"
I press. She suddenly turned to go.
"I'm afraid. That's for you to find out. But let me warn you. Think hard before you make a decision. Sometimes suffering through your fear is better than suffering for eternity. Be brave."
"What do I do?"
I yelled, shaking in my chair as she walked out the door. She paused and took one last look over her shoulder. Her eye darted around, and she dropped her voice to a whisper.
"Feed the pig."
And with that, she was gone. And that's the end of the story. I'm kidding. There's more.
I was about to say, like, what?
So what do you think so far about this shit, bro?
I'm definitely feeling it. I like the lore so far that is dispelled about the afterlife. I like, you know, sort of the place he finds him in, this person finds themselves in. I like the overall way they've described the setting and some of the other weird characters that that's interacted with the person so far.
Now you see why I gave it a 3,004? Or whatever the fuck I said?
Well, I can't say that. We're not even done yet. I can't say that until we get to the end.
Oh, well. Feed the pig. I sat in silence once again. My mind was spinning, desperately turning over my options. I still couldn't fully understand the situation I was in. It was too much, too overwhelming. The other side of death wasn't supposed to be like this. I didn't know what I had expected, but it wasn't this nightmare. Questions crashed over my mind like cold waves onto a sinking ship. How was I supposed to make a choice when I didn't even know what my actions entailed? This place, the Black Farm. I couldn't stay here. But what if I went to hell? What if I didn't get sent back? I would be out of the fire and into the frying pan. My existence would forever be damned to unending misery. Here, though, here, there were people like me, suicidals. It wasn't all monsters and mutilated murderers. Maybe I could hole up somewhere with them, try to scrape together a passable existence. Sure. That would be better than getting sent to hell. No, this wasn't going to be how I spent my eternity. I refused to let it be. If there was even the slightest sliver of hope, I would take it. I didn't want to wonder what could have been. I didn't want to be tormented by doubt. I would feed the pig and accept whatever fate chose for me. When I boiled it down, that was the only option left. I would feed the pig.
Hey! Hello? Danny!
I yelled, rattling in my chair.
I've made my decision, Danny!
After a couple of seconds, I heard footsteps echo down the hall towards me. Danny walked through the doorway, an annoyed look on his face.
I've made my choice, I said. I'm going to feed the pig.
Sounds like you really thought a lot about it since I left you, Danny said, sarcastically.
I licked my lips.
You'd do the same thing if you were in my place.
Danny walked behind me. I was in your place once, and I chose differently. My eyes widened, and then Danny wrapped my entire head with a strip of thin cloth, blinding me. I sucked in as much air as I could, but each lungful felt empty. Danny cut me free from the chair, and my body sighed as my stiff muscles were released. I rolled my shoulders as my hands were released, and I moaned with relief. I dug my fingers into my back and stretched, my bones creaking. Keep your blindfold on and follow me, Danny said, pulling me up. My legs shook as I put weight on them, my thighs trembling after their long, cemented position. I groped blindly in front of me and found Danny's shoulder. I rested my hand on it as he walked us out of the room. As we entered the hallway, I could suddenly hear sound I hadn't heard before. The clank of metal, a long, fleshy, tearing noise, something vomiting. These sounds sprang to life in my ears, painting the darkness before my eyes with imaginary scenes of horror. I gripped Danny's shoulder tighter, stumbling behind him, my heart thundering. I heard something trailing behind us, but Danny didn't seem to notice. Or if he did, he didn't care. Flesh slapped the concrete mere inches behind me, and I suddenly felt hot breath on my neck and the click of a wet tongue against gums. My breathing became even more labored as fear choked me.
Going to feed the piggy, are ya?
Something whispered in my ear. I felt something press against the back of my head, and I tried not to think about what it might be. It was wet and slimy, and I heard the thing chuckle.
He's a hungry piggy. You make sure it gets his meal now.
The thing whispered again, its voice low and unlike anything I've ever heard before.
It was like a series of grunts and moans jumbled together to form broken words. To my relief, I heard the thing retreat back to wherever it had come from, and I continued to follow Danny. He remained silent as we walked, and I could feel shifts in the air. The thick heat gave way to a cooler, almost pleasant temperature. Then it kept decreasing, and soon I was shivering violently against the cold. I couldn't see anything, but I felt a breeze on my face, like we were outside. I didn't hear Danny open any doors, but nothing about this place was natural. It was like reality blurred and bled into itself, like reels of film melting together. Teeth chattering, I was suddenly blasted with intense heat, and I gasped. My feet tripped over themselves as the terrain changed, and I was suddenly walking on what felt like warm iron. My ears were filled with the sound of blazing furnaces and the clash of working machinery. I couldn't see it, but I felt like there was a vast, open expanse overhead. I smelled ash and tasted dirt on my tongue, sweat already forming along my spine. Suddenly, I crashed into Danny as he came to a halt. I backed up a few paces quickly and muttered my apologies. I could hear movement in front of us, a rustle of chains and an odd clicking sound on the metal floor. Something else, too. Something. Snorting. And as the room filled with a deafening sound of an immense pig squealing, I covered my ears, head splitting at the high-pitched wail. I grit my teeth as the noise echoed off the metal and faded into a series of snorts and grunts. It sounded absolutely enormous. "I brought another one," Danny announced, a slight tinge of respect lining his voice. "He wants to feed the pig." I waited, expecting to hear someone answer. The cloth around my eyes sealing my sight to darkness, I realized my knees were shaking and my back was coated in sweat. I was terrified.
"If that's what you wish,"
Danny said, and I felt him bow under my hand. Apparently, some unseen conversation had just happened, and Danny took my wrist and pushed me forward. "Approach the pig," he instructed. My whole body trembled, and my knees locked into place. Robbed from sight, I raised my hands, trying to get my bearings. The heat and ash filling my head with nausea. I felt like I was going to throw up, my stomach rolling like a Dead Sea. I didn't know where I was or what horror lay before me. I felt lost and tiny. A fresh splash of tears dripping from my eyes and soaking into the cloth around my face.
"Please," I begged. "Let me see what's happening."
Danny was suddenly behind me, pushing me forward. He guided my hands towards something as we stepped together in unison. Even with the cloth around my face, I could see a giant mass of a towering darkness before me. It was a spot of black on an already darkened canvas. As we walked forward, I was suddenly assaulted by a horrendous smell, and I gagged, turning away. Danny's grip tightened and forced me to continue. I could sense something just in front of me, a living, shifting mass of flesh. The smell increased into a wretched level, and I gagged again. Then hot air was being blown on my face, a blast of heat that came in repeated short bursts. I vomited into my cloth, the source of the smell stemming from the hot air. I choked as the bile gushed over the fabric, soaking it and momentarily cutting off my oxygen. Danny slapped my hands away, and I took a few seconds to steady my breathing again. I was openly crying now. Fear and misery collapsing my willpower. The wet cloth stunk as I sucked in soggy breaths.
My own stomach acid coated my skin, and I begged for all of this to be over. And then something squealed directly in front of me. I felt my bladder go. I was standing before the pig. It was the source of darkness in my obscured vision. A fat, titanic creature that filled my senses with every breath it blew into my face. Danny raised my hands, and suddenly I was touching the pig's snout. I recoiled immediately, but Danny forced my hands back. Its fur was stiff and brittle as my shaking hands explored up its nose. The size of the animal became clear to me. It was gigantic and had weighed over a ton. Its flesh wiggled under my sweating hands, and it opened its mouth slightly. My fingers curled around its teeth, the size of kitchen knives, and I realized its mouth was absolutely cavernous. The pig squealed again, and I heard its hooves clack against the ground. It sounded like thunder rolling across an open field in the middle of summer.
"Take this blindfold off, please,"
I begged, my legs turning to jelly. Danny had taken a few steps back, and I heard reverence in his voice. "You don't want to do that." I jumped as the pig nudged me with its nose, the wet circle of flesh squishing against the length of my face. I shuddered away, raising my hands and emitting a cry of fear. "Feed the pig," Danny instructed, his voice like cold steel now.
"You made your choice. Now live with it. It's the only chance you have of going back. Or maybe the pig won't like how you taste and send you to hell."
Only one way to find out. My eyes widened behind the vomit-soaked cloth.
Won't like how I taste?
"Climb into his mouth."
My bladder let go again, and I felt warm piss run down my leg.
No, you can't mean...
Danny's voice hardened.
"Climb into his mouth and don't stop crawling forward until it's done with you."
Please,
I begged, turning towards Danny's face, reaching out blindly.
"Please, there has to be some other way. Don't make me do this."
I was a mess of snot and tears, my words bumbling from my mouth like a toddler. Danny stepped forward and spun me back to face the pig.
"Do it. You made your choice. It'll be over soon. This is your only chance."
I could feel the pig breathing onto my face, its snout mere inches from mine. The smell and heat it emitted made me want to vomit again, but I held it back. This was insane. This wasn't happening. My mind spun and twisted in chaos and fear. There had to be some other way. I couldn't do this. I could not do this. Suddenly, I remembered the words of the woman.
"Sometimes suffering through your fear is better than suffering for eternity. Be brave."
This was my only chance to get back to the world of the living. I had made such a terrible mistake in killing myself. If I could go back and change my life, I wouldn't have to spend eternity here. I could change my ways and sure a spot somewhere else. Somewhere away from the pig. What if it decided to send me to hell? How much more suffering could I endure? I had to take this chance.
"Please, God,"
I whispered, taking a step forward.
"If you can hear me, please have mercy on me."
My shaking hands reached out for the pig, and I grasped its thick fur. I felt it slowly lowering its head and open its mouth. It was waiting for me, its thick, hot breath stinking into my nostrils. This was it. No turning back now. I slowly gripped its teeth and pulled myself forward into its jaws. Its head was at a downward angle, so I immediately fell onto my stomach at a 45-degree angle. Its wet tongue squished under me, and I was shaking so hard I could barely breathe. Tears soaked my blindfold, and my heart crunched against my ribs. I slowly reached forward and found another tooth to grab onto. Gritting my teeth, I pulled my body inward, past my knees. The pig raised its head, and I was suddenly completely horizontal on its tongue. Saliva and mucus dripped around me, and the heat was so intense I almost blacked out. My knees clacked against its front teeth as I pulled myself even deeper. Its inner cheeks pressed in around me, squeezing my body like a soaking, fleshy coffin. Crying, terrified, I reached ahead of me and found more teeth. I pulled myself deeper into its mouth, and I felt my feet slide past its lips. My whole body was coated in slime, and I openly wept, grasping in the darkness for another tooth. And that's when the pig started to chew on me. I screamed in crushing agony as my body was compressed between its massive teeth. I heard my legs snap instantly and felt wet bone pop from my skin. I shook violently as my body spasmed in shock, a mangled twist of blood and pain. Its tongue shifted me in its mouth. I felt it bite down on my shoulder. My eyes bulged in their sockets and I howled, a hot pillar crunching down on my collarbone. I threw up violently, unable to control myself, the pain overwhelming. "Keep crawling," screaming, bloodshot eyes rolling wildly, I reached forward with my good arm, wetly searching for another tooth. I gripped my teeth, blood squirting between them as my fingers wrapped around something solid. The pig bit down again, its tongue twisting my body so its molars could snap down on my knees. The pain brought darkness, but my howling screams forced my eyes to remain open.
"Jesus, make it stop!"
I bellowed, trembling hands still gripping the tooth ahead of me.
"Please make it fucking stop!"
I ground my teeth together so hard they cracked. Screaming as I slowly pulled my body deeper into its mouth, something was changing. The tights of the walls of its throat squeezed my head, and I realized I was almost through.
"Come on, you motherfucker! Come on!"
I begged, vocal cords cracking. I reached ahead of me and grabbed onto a thick wad of flesh. My head felt like it was splitting, and the pig bit down on me again. I gasped, blood exploding from my mouth in a great rush of red. It had pierced through my stomach, obliterating my insides like bloated noodles. Darkness rushed in on me, and I was in too much shock to even scream. With the last of my strength, right as the blackness took me, I pulled myself forward one last time and felt myself slide down its throat. Darkness, falling, screaming. I was screaming. Heat so intense I thought I would melt. Clanging. Something was hammering on metal. Colors and images flew past me so quickly I could only make out their shape. Blood poured into my eyes. I felt like I would keep falling forever. Suddenly, my eyes snapped open, and I was falling. My breath rushing back into my lungs in a great wave of purity. My face bounced off a wood floor, and I cried out as I felt my nose break. I tasted blood and saw stars. I had stopped falling. There was a ring of burning fire around my throat, and I felt impossibly thirsty. I was lying on the floor. I slowly opened my eyes again, and the darkness began to fade like morning mist under a hot sun. Colors blended together, and shapes came into focus.
I was in my woodshed. I reached up around my throat and grasped at the source of heat. It was the rope I had hung myself with, but now it was severed, releasing me from the grip of death. Relief rolled over me in overwhelming waves of thanks. I curled up on the floor and sobbed, tears dripping from my eyes onto the dirty floor. My body shook, unbroken as I wept, wet hoarse cries rising from my quivering lips. I had been spared. I was alive again. From my spot on the floor, I turned my eyes upward, my voice crackling. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you. I fell into another fit of uncontrollable sobbing. I promise I won't waste my life again. I promise I'll make things right. I'll fix everything. I don't know how long it was before I got up. Time seemed to stretch for eternity. My mind refused to rebuild the horrors of what I had witnessed crushing me. But I knew I would do everything I could to make the most out of my life. I was going to live every day to the fullest. I would devote myself to helping others in dark times. I would reach out to as many suicidals as I could and try to save them from what awaited them on the other side. I didn't want anyone else to have to witness the horrors of suicide. I didn't want anyone else to have to feed the pig.
Bum, bum, bum. What'd I tell you, bro? One of the dopest creepy pastas I've ever seen.
That was damn good.
Wasn't it?
That was good. That was real good.
Yo, like 1 out of 10, how was my acting? How was my reading?
Your reading was a 7.
Okay. I mean, it was a cold read, mind you.
Cold read. You know what I'm saying? There was a couple of distracting things around that got us. You know what I'm saying?
I'll edit all
that out. So I'll give you a 7.5.
I mean, I'll take it.
You know what I mean?
You know, feel like you're being a dick, but I'll take it.
You mean a lie?
Yes.
Oh, and it was fucking 10,000 girls. Fucking amazing.
Okay, so clearly I'm a shitty actor. All right.
What?
That is what DJ Hey Cousin is. This is exactly why I'd never give you an intro. Because you do shit like this.
It was great, though. It was great. The story was great. The originality was great. The overall conceptualization of the world in which this person had found themselves in was spectacular. As far as like imagery and thematic resonance, like that, a lot of that stuff is important when it comes to not even just a creepypasta, but just a story, a compelling story. And you know, the main character, you know, sort of his arc, as I guess that's the best way of putting it, seeing the error of his ways and understanding why what he did was wrong, even if it was just through very simple means. At one point throughout the story, I'm like, well, this feed the pig thing is probably going to be like a double dare challenge, you know, involving slime. And I was wrong, but it was way worse. And that's way worse. I like it.
I had heard this creepypasta on the, I believe, again, it was the Extraterrestrials podcast. And Kit Chungus was reading it. That was a few months ago. I literally have not heard or seen the script of this story again until now.
Yeah.
I literally scavenged all over the internet looking for the creepypasta that I remember him reading, but I couldn't remember the name of it. Yeah. I was like, Pigman. So I just kept like Googling Pigman, but nothing that he was talking about came up, nothing that I remembered. And so literally this was the first time I ever read it. This is the first time I ever came up with the characters. We planned this today. I didn't even know I was doing this today. This is your idea.
Yep, sure was.
So I got to say, a cold read, not knowing that we were going to do this and creating characters on the fly.
On the fly.
I'm giving myself a fucking 8.
Okay, well, with context, I didn't know any of that.
Yes. I didn't, when I found it today, I literally just copied and pasted it and looked for quotations, mm-hmm. and just bolded those because I knew those were characters, but I knew who the characters were.
Yeah.
I was only looking for quotations.
Why didn't you say all this stuff before?
Well, I mean,
before you asked me to rate you.
Oh, because, I mean, like, I thought you were going to be a good friend and say I did a good job.
Well, I'm trying to be objective so you can actually be better.
I'm pretty fucking good, actually.
No one denied that.
No, I just didn't read it ahead of time because I enjoy doing cold reads and I just enjoy cold reads.
You did.
I enjoy the challenge.
You did the best with, of course, the main character.
But I also did the best with nothing. Let's be real. I didn't have anything.
What do you mean you didn't have anything? What are you talking?
I mean, like, there was no rehearsal. There was no character analysis. There was none of that.
That's fine. But when you got into the flow of what you were doing and you sort of found those characters within the read, it was great.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be part of the bloopers. What he's talking about, you're not going to hear in the actual read. You hear that at the end of the episode. Enjoy that. That's why editing is a thing.
And I don't even mean the bloopers. I mean, you know, even within it itself, those moments where everything felt in sync, you know, because everything, you know, you hear everything in tone, not just tone, but in word separation vocally, in vocal strain, you know, all that stuff matters when it comes to a reading. So in those moments where, like, you were in the pocket, like, I was there, like, I was fully immersed. I saw the imagery, you know what I mean? Like I was in hell, or actually, no, I wasn't. And it was compelling. Like, that's why I'm saying the shit I'm saying now. Like, it was good. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
F you. F you. You hear that silence that you heard, everyone? That was the echoes of judgment. All right? Judgment and discontent.
All I know is I nailed it. Not to mention, this motherfucker was full of goddamn typos. The original story that I found on Fandom... there's a lot of fucking typos. So I had to kind of guess halfway through what he was trying to say.
Is it weird that I thought he was the pig was going to swallow him whole? Like,
no,
there,
when
there
I first heard the story, I thought the same thing. Once I realized he was going to be eaten.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, he's just going to swallow him like a fucking pill and shit him out or something.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, I thought that the hard part was going to be, like, going through him and then being shit out his ass. After everything else I heard previously, I thought, oh, yeah, he's going to get shit out. Like... Because I'm thinking, the pig is ginormous. You're a tiny little thing. Chances are he'll probably just swallow you whole like a fucking Motrin or some shit.
Right, right. If that happens in reality or whatever we consider reality to be, he would be shitted out. Then he would have to go fill out some paperwork to show that, like, he did the challenge. And then he would be walked back to his reality, to his life.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, what would you have done had you been given the choice? Would you have, I mean, without having known what happened, you know what I mean? Like, if you had given the option to feed the pig or stay at the black farm, what would you have done without even knowing what anything is?
Yeah, I would have asked for a third option.
Okay, that wasn't an option.
I know.
You saw him blow a little kid's head off.
Yeah, that was
you think
awesome.
There's a third option?
That was ridiculous.
Somebody masturbated and ejaculated dead ants. Do you think there's a third option?
I know. And hindsight is 30-30.
Someone's teeth were replaced with screws.
That was awesome.
Do you think there's a third option?
Oh, my God. Oh, very, very Hellraiser-y.
Do you want to be eaten by a pig, or do you want to watch somebody masturbate ants all the time?
That is... I'm happy they didn't tell us what kind of ants they were, because if they were red, it would have been a rat.
Well, they said, like, a dead black thing, so, like, I think it was black.
Black ants, yeah. Oh.
I'm feeding the pig, bro.
I guess chew on my bones until they break and compound fracture and collarbone and
it'll only
digestion.
Hurt while you're being eaten. But there's a good chance that you'll end up back on Earth.
It tastes delicious, too.
No, you don't. I should say something currently, obviously, about suicide, clearly, because this whole episode was about that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, you're needed here in this realm for as long as possible.
No, facts, man. If you know anyone or if you yourself are going through any type of suicidal thoughts or ideologies, anything like that, my advice would be to speak to someone, mm-hmm. someone you trust, someone you love, and let them know what you're going through. Because let me tell you something. A lot of people, it's been said, the moments before they actually die after the suicidal act, they regret it. Sometimes they survive it, and some people are able to share that information. Oh, I regret it at the moment I did it. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky to be here, etc. And some people aren't that lucky. So there's one thing I can say is that the feeling that you're feeling right now, the feelings that we've all felt at some point in life, You have to also remember there were times when you were happy as well. And as everyone always says, when it rains, it pours. I feel like, I've said this to you before, DJ Hey Cousin, I feel like there is an opposition to that. When it rains, it pours. I don't know what that opposition is yet. I'm coming with something fire. But I do believe, you know, after the rain, we get that sunshine. You feel me? So you have to get through those hard moments first. And once you get through those hard moments and you experience just a tiny amount of happiness, just something different, a change that you can feel, that you can see, that you can experience, you'll realize at that moment that there is a crack in all that blackness and there's some light that it's wanting to see Ben. You just got to pick up that sledgehammer and break that black glass, baby, and let that light in. Mm. Because it is not going to last forever. And you will feel it again, because that is life. Sometimes things suck. Sometimes things are awesome. And sometimes things are terrifying and confusing. And other things. Because that's part of being a human.
How about this? When it shines, it glows.
I like that. That's for the when it rains, it pours.
The antithesis of when it
rains.
Yeah,
when it shines, it glows. I'm going to get that tatted on my face instead of what Steve-O did. He got a dick tattooed on his face not too long ago by Post Malone. So that was weird.
Yeah. Okay.
It was definitely dripping something, but it wasn't tears.
That's weird. You went the Steve-O route and not the Amber Rose route. It's interesting.
I don't really think about Amber Rose very much.
Neither do I. It took a second to think of her.
Yeah. Better than me. I didn't think of her at all. And that's my goddamn name. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast episode. It was very different. But that's how the Professional Silly Podcast started, though. I would do some scary stuff and some true crime stuff. And certain episodes would be about one thing. But, you know, every now and then, if I come across something amazing like this, I want to share it with you. So do me a favor, guys. Check out the podcast Instagram at It's Pro Silly and the Professionally Silly Podcast group on Facebook. Subscribe, all that shit. And also, listeners, you're fucking titties.
So big titties.
You are fucking titties. I love your faces, but most of all, the ears that are attached to them. And there's anything that you can take from this episode, it's no matter what DJ Hey Cousin says, I was at least an 8 today.
Oh my God. Well, with all the context, yes, you are. Okay? Yes.
Listener submissions, send them in. You send them, we read them. Share your silly stories, your jokes, your life mishaps, what have you. If you have ideas of things you want us to cover in the pod, all that can go to my email at itsprofessionallysilly@gmail.com. Down in the show notes, we've got my link tree. It's got all of my most used social medias there, including my Twitter. Not my Twitter. Fuck Twitter. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube channels, and more. And if you're interested in sending me anything or writing me, my P.O. Box is also down below. Amber Smiles Jones, P.O. Box 533, Lovejoy, Georgia, 30250. All right. Once again, it's your audible boot thing, Amber Smiles Jones. And thank you so much for listening to the Professionally Silly Station, where I take my silliness seriously. And I'll leave you with this. I was definitely an 8. I was definitely an 8.
7.8.
Definitely a full 8. That's all I got to say. Until next time you decide to tune in, P-Silly listeners, watch where you step. Because there's pieces of shit everywhere. And they love to spread their ignorance.
And there's corn in it as well. There's corn in the poo that you're stepping in.
Why do you... Who? Like... Why? Why are you?
I mean, I want to give them insight.
Próxima semana! That's next week in Spanish. I hadn't cut you off yet, so it was due.
That's true.
It was due.
True.
If you're a new listener, listen to some other episodes. You know what I'm talking about. Titties. Bye. Bye. Give me a mic check.
Mic check.
Seriously. Like, why? Do you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
It's super loud now. I think he's leaving, though. Give me a second. God, this shit is loud. All right. He's a hungry piggy. You make sure it gets its meal now. The thing whispered again. No, that wasn't a whisper, was it? I'll do it again.
He's a hungry piggy.
There's some typos here, sorry. I licked my dry lips what the fuck? Okay.
You waited.
And what are you doing? I can hear the sounds.
I was texting real quick. You can hear that?
Yeah. I've been hearing it the entire time. I've been trying to ignore it, but then it got louder.
God damn.
All right. Do it holding it. All right. Okay. My breath pushed from my... How far? Like, where are you? Hurry up. God damn it. Does he live here?
Maybe.
Fuck.
There it is.
All right.
That might have been like a lawnmower.
Fuck. All right. That's going to go in the bloopers. Okay. You're looking at your phone typing. I'm like, is he paying attention?
Yes, I'm hella paying attention. We're in a fucking alternate dimension where somewhere between heaven and hell, some kind of negative space in which this exists. Like,
okay, so you heard a few things. All right.
Carry on, please.
And I shifted them desperately. Well, that sounded like I shitted. And I shifted them desperately as we... Okay, that's a typo on their part. Sounds like you've really thought a lot about it since I left you, Danny said sarcastically. That wasn't sarcastic. Let me try that again. Going to feed the piggy, are ya? Oh, that's a whisper. My bad. Going to feed the piggy, are ya? What if it decided to send me to hell?